1 Corinthians chapter 7 will be our study today. And it's great to be a child of God. And it's great to come and worship and to study the Word of God. But I want you to understand, you know, there's more to it than just meeting on Sundays. Meeting on Sundays and the Bible studies that we enjoy, whether it's Sunday night, a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, it's about receiving things from God to take back home with us and build a life with. Okay? So the idea is if we don't take something away from here and apply it to use it to build our life, we've missed the point. Okay? And I'm thoroughly convinced that the only happy life there is, the only life of joy and contentment and peace, is a life that is built upon Jesus Christ and the foundations and principles of His teaching. So with that in mind, today we're going to explore the subject of marriage. Called to be married. Married 101. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God? Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. I just like the sound of that. How about you? It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word that we have to build a life upon. Thank you, Lord, for this good marriage advice that we're studying this morning. And Lord, help us to take it to heart, to not just put it in our mind, but Lord, to take it to heart and to live it, that we may have marriages, Lord, that are built upon the foundation of your word and your teaching, because we know that's the only way to have a happy marriage. And Lord, we pray that you would move among us today. You knowing every need in every heart, every life, you know the ones who are lost. I pray that today they'll be saved. The ones who are hurting, I pray that today they'll be comforted. Those who have, Lord, just drifted from you, I pray that today they will come back to you. I pray that you'll be glorified by every decision made and the preaching of your word and everything done here today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. I've noticed in studying the Apostle Paul that there is absolutely nothing off limits to that man. In his teaching, I mean, he covered it all. And he was very bold and he didn't hesitate. And today, as we look, Paul is answering specific questions that he has been asked. Today, he's dealing with questions about marriage. Now, one might say, well, wasn't Paul single? Yes, he was. What did he know about being married? Well, he was writing under the inspiration of God, okay? And so God, writing through him, gives us advice or instruction. Let's take it, not advice, instruction. Okay, this is not suggestions. This is how it's supposed to be. So God, through the Apostle Paul, is giving us instruction in relationships and how to be married. And we start with relationships. Okay? The first command that Paul gives, or the first instruction that, God gives us in the text today, is to exercise restraint in relationships. Okay? As a matter of fact, Paul said, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. I just, as I hesitated before, I like the sound of that. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, the concept there, if we're not careful, we'll lose in translation. That word touch in the Greek literally means to light a fire. So we could translate it, it is good for a man not to light a fire with a woman. What is he talking about? He's talking about that three-letter word, sex. Now, you got to understand, this is not the most comfortable message for a pastor to preach, okay? However, I have surrendered to preach the whole counsel of God. And even in touchy subjects, okay, we have instruction from the Word of God. Paul here, talking about sex, he's saying, literally, it is good for a man not to have sexual contact with a woman. Did Paul actually say that? Did he actually? Yes, he did. Okay? Why in the world would Paul make a statement like that? Well, Paul in verse 8 said, it's good for them to remain even as I am. And how Paul was, what he's talking about there, he was a single man. He was not in a relationship, nor was he looking for a relationship. But instead, his whole life, his whole heart, his whole mind, his whole soul was focused upon the service to his great God. Okay? So when he says, it's good for you to be like me, that's what he's talking about. As a matter of fact, in verses 32 and 33 of this very chapter, it says, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Okay? You see, when you enter into a relationship, there's a relationship takes time, and it requires effort, and it requires caring. Paul was 100% sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of his time, all of his effort, all of his caring were pointed toward Jesus Christ. And if you can live that way, it's best to live that way, is what Paul is saying. Any amens there? Nope. All right. That being the case, we'll move on to the next point, because the next point we get into the reality. There are very few people like the Apostle Paul. And the reality is that we have a need for relationships. Okay? Paul said, because of sexual immorality, let a man have his wife, and the same for a woman, let the woman have her husband. There is a natural desire in the majority of mankind that must be satisfied, a sexual desire, if you will. Even though it would be great to devote all your attention to God, most people cannot live that way. We have a God-given desire for the opposite sex. And at Corinth, see, the problem that Paul is addressing here at the church at Corinth, they had that same drive, that same desire. And the problem there was, it was the temple of Diana and the prostitutes of that temple. Every night those prostitutes would descend on the city and sell themselves for money. And men were perfectly glad to do business with them. Paul's point here is that kind of conduct is not right. That kind of conduct of no commitment, no connection, and no caring is not the kind of relationship that God intended for man to have. However, it's not that far from what many experience today. And for example, you've heard the phrases shacking up, hooking up, friends with benefits. And the whole idea behind that is sex without commitment or connection or caring. And if that, my friends, is what your sex life is like, you have a big, ginormous, empty hole in your life. You're missing the blessing that God intended in relationships. If your sex life is only satisfying the lust of the flesh, you're missing it. You see, God created us for relationships. Okay? God created us to share our life with someone of the opposite sex. And there is a need within us. And Paul knew that need, and that's why he's giving us this instruction. But understand this, this is instruction to married people. Okay? Sex outside of marriage was never intended to be so. And if you're involved in it, stop it. Okay? You're missing the blessing. Because with relationship comes responsibility. Okay? That's what I want to discuss next, the responsibilities of a relationship. Number one, it starts with commitment. The necessity of commitment in a relationship. Verse 2 said, let each man have his own wife. That word have means to seize or to emotionally seize someone. God's answer to our natural desires is a marriage relationship. That's where one man commits to one woman for one lifetime. Okay? That is the design. It is not one man and one man. That is a perverted view. It is not one woman and one woman. It is not one man and five women. It is one man, one woman for a lifetime. And if you want to be happy in a relationship, you've got to start right there. You've got to start with that lady that God has prepared for you, men. And ladies, you've got to start with that man that God has prepared for you. And I want to tell you something right here. You better look farther than just on the outside. Okay? You better look on the inside. But marriage is great. Marriage is God's design plan for our happiness. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Do you realize that's the only thing God said was not good about his entire creation? Everything was good. Created the day and the night, it was good. He created the land, it was good. He created the seas, it was good. Created the animals, it was good. And he came to Adam and said, it's not good that man should be alone. Why? Because he had that natural need, that natural desire for companionship. Then in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. There's your commitment to the relationship. Okay? When you find that special someone that God has prepared for you, you make that lifetime commitment that we call marriage. And listen, it is a lifetime commitment, okay? I realize that there may be some folks that have been touched by divorce in the congregation today, okay? And as I preach this, I want you to know one thing. You cannot undo what's happened in the past, all right? All you can do is take the relationship that you have right now and treat it with love and respect and build it upon the principles of the Word of God. All right? This isn't about bashing those about their past at all. Okay? This is about taking where we are and building the relationship that God would have us to have. It starts with a commitment. One man, one woman, for one lifetime. Then it moves to a connection in the relationship. Verse 3, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her. And the wife, render to her husband the affection due him. Literally, if you translated this literally, that word render means to pay a debt. And it would read, let the husband pay his debt to his wife. And let the wife pay her debt to her husband. You see, with relationship and commitment comes responsibility. You say, well, Brother Duck, you know, shouldn't sex be much more than paying a debt? Yes, it should be. However, you need to understand as you go into this relationship that there are responsibilities for the man and the woman. Okay? And it is when you say I do, you have a responsibility to meet the sexual needs of your spouse. Okay? There's some men in this congregation right now thinking, I hope my wife is hearing this. There may be some wives hoping their husbands hear it. I don't know. But the idea here, okay, is not just sex. The idea is connection. Okay? And the reason I bring that up is because so many men are satisfied by fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Okay? However, most ladies are a little different. Most ladies need to be loved. They need to be cared for. They need to feel like that it's more than just a physical thing. And men, just as the lady has a responsibility towards you, you have a responsibility toward her to make her feel like she is the most beautiful, most treasured, most precious woman in the world. That's a satisfying relationship for your wife, okay? That's your responsibility. Women, it's the same with you. You have the responsibility to meet the need of your husband. The need of your husband is a little deeper than just sex itself. It is the need for him to feel like a man. Okay? So when I say connection, I'm going way beyond just the act of sex itself. I'm talking about an emotional connection where all needs are met. And that's the idea here. When it says, let the husband render to his wife affection due her. And let me tell you, sex is not a weapon. Okay? I'm mad. You're not sleeping with me. Never use that as a weapon. Okay? Never. If you're mad, unload on him, ladies. All right? But don't take this emotional physical need and try to make a weapon out of it, because that destroys the relationship. Number one, necessity of commitment. Number two, the necessity of connection. Number three, necessity of a corruption-free relationship. If you'll notice in verse 5, it says, do not deprive one another. That word deprive literally means to rob or steal. Husbands and wife, to withhold yourself from your spouse is literally, according to the Word of God, stealing from them. And if you steal from them, you run the risk of corruption in your relationship. Verse 5 also says, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Why do we fulfill the needs of our spouse? So that we're not tempted. Here's the lesson, okay? We have natural needs, God-given needs. And when those needs are unfulfilled, our eyes have a tendency to look elsewhere for the fulfillment of those needs. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, Everyone does not have the same biblical foundation and belief and convictions that you have. If your husband's needs are not met, you can bet there's some little lady out there that will gladly sleep with your husband. Okay? Not just men. Men, if your wife's needs are not met, you can bet there's some meathead out there that will sleep with your wife. Okay? And when you rob from your spouse by not fulfilling the needs of your spouse, you run that risk. Okay? And let me offer this. Let's take a little break from that just a second. Ladies, and gentlemen for that matter, don't try to draw the attention of anybody except your spouse. What am I talking about? I'm talking about don't wear dresses that makes men look at your eyes. Okay? Don't wear tops that makes men, that causes men to look at other things. Okay? There are things about you that is supposed to be reserved for that one special someone in your wife, in your life. If you're the wife, it is your husband. Okay? Your husband is the only one that deserves to see certain things. What am I saying? Ladies, cover up. Okay? And I say that in a heart of love, not directed at anyone in particular, but don't advertise if you're not selling. Okay? Don't do it. You got to have a corruption-free marriage. Once the trust is broken in a marriage relationship, I want you to understand what you have destroyed a part of your marriage that will take you many, many years to get back, if you can get it back at all. You see, one of the most precious things about marriage is trust. Okay? Meaning you can trust your spouse. That you don't worry about your husband as he works. You don't worry about your husband as he goes out of town on out of town business, because you trust him. You know you can trust him. If that trust is ever broken, my friends, you open a can of worms that you do not want to deal with. Hebrews 13 and 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Okay? You're going to pay a price for being unfaithful in your marriage relationship. Don't do it. That person at work, that lady at work that winks at you, you know, and flirts with you, go the other way. Run. Don't put yourself in that position to even remotely be tempted. Ladies, that man at work that'll sit and listen to you, I mean, you can talk and he'll sit and listen, and your husband won't sit and listen, but he will. I want to tell you something. There's something more on his mind than listening to what you have to say. Okay? Get out of that relationship. Don't put yourself in a position for the trust to be robbed from your marriage. Because marriage, and here's the real reason I put this scripture up there. Marriage is honorable. Honorable. That word honorable means precious. If you have a wife, gentlemen, you have a precious thing. I mean, let's face it. All the men I see, the married men in this congregation this morning, you married up. You're lucky she had you. Don't get to thinking, no, no. Maybe you're not lucky, maybe you're just blessed, but the concept's there, okay? You cannot do better. You can't, you know, I mean, really. You know, what you have is precious. That word honorable in this passage means precious. It's something that you have to treasure. It's something that's worth caring for. It's something that's worth holding on to. You know what I figured out about marriage? I got a long way to go. It took me 30. Beth has educated me for 30 years. Bless her heart. I figured out it's not always easy. Matter of fact, there are a lot of times it gets rocky. But it's worth it. I realize I'm just a young man. But I'm looking forward to growing old with my wife. Okay? What I figured out in 30 years. And I say this not because she's sitting over there. I'd say it whether she was here or not. Our marriage is better today than it's ever been. And you know why? It's because we've been through the rocky parts. It's because we've experienced the difficult, the highs and the lows. It's because both of us were willing to stay with it even when we questioned, is it worth it? I can tell you right now, it's worth it. Okay? It's worth it because it's precious. It is honorable. Don't let anyone or anything steal the blessing that God has put in your life. Which brings us to being removed from the marriage relationship. Verses 10 and 11 of this text. We didn't read earlier, but we're going to read them right now. It says, to the married, I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband. But if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And the husband should not divorce his wife. You know the real reason for divorce? The real reason for divorce can be found in Mark chapter 10 and verse 5. There it says, Jesus was asked the question, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And before he could answer, they said, now consider Moses. Moses gave a writing of divorcement. So if you say it's wrong to do divorce, you know, you're going against what Moses practiced. And Jesus said, and Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. Okay? You know what the leading cause of divorce is? The only cause of divorce. It's because of a hard heart. Because of the hardness of your heart. You say, oh, Brother Doug, my spouse was unfaithful to me. You know why he was unfaithful? Because he is hard-hearted and wouldn't listen to the Word of God. You say, oh, Brother Doug, my spouse emotionally abuses me. You know why? Because he's too hard-headed and hard-hearted to listen to the way that God instructs us to treat our wife. What about irreconcilable differences? Once again, need to quit being so stubborn and learn how to get along. Get over the hard heart problem. The worst thing in a marriage is a hard heart. A man that thinks himself too much of a man to listen to instruction. A woman who comes to that point that it just doesn't matter anymore. At times that I've counseled marriages and would ask them in and that, you know, you could just tell they'd made up their mind. I'm not going to do this anymore. It's over. See, the heart's gotten too hard. And it doesn't matter. You can preach at them. You can love them. You can share. And it doesn't matter. They're not going to listen. The problem's a hard heart. The problem is a hard heart. That's the reason for divorce. But you know what the real reason to remain married is? And if you're on the fence and you're questioning, okay, I'm going to give you the real reason you need to remain married and love your wife and treasure your spouse and put your heart into it. The real reason to remain married is Mark 10:9, where it says, therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. There's the real reason you need to stay together. Okay? You know, we say we love the Lord. We say that we want to be the Christian that God wants us to be. Okay, here's the challenge. Do you love the Lord? The Bible says, he that loves me will keep my commandments. All right? Do you love the Lord enough so that when it comes that time and you question, is it worth it? And I just don't know if I can continue doing this or not. Do you love the Lord enough to say, I'm going to keep on and I'm going to build this relationship and I'm not going to let it fail? The reason to stay married is because it's the right thing to do. You remember in your wedding vows, the phrase, till death do us part. And women, that don't mean kill your husband. You remember the phrase, till death do us part. Okay? See, we live in this society, and we've gotten to the point where whatever we have, if it gets to where it doesn't work anymore, we throw it out. You remember the days when there were TV repairmen? If your TV went out, you didn't buy a new one. You took your TV to TV repairman. You did without your TV for a week or two or a month, however long it took him to fix it. But he'd fix it and you'd bring it back home and you'd watch TV again. But see, we don't have that anymore. Why? Because once it gets to where it doesn't do what we want it to do anymore, we throw it away. You know, the trash people come and haul it off and we get a new one. And we've kind of adopted that plan in marriage. No! If your marriage is broke, here's an idea. Fix it. Fix it. No, it may not be easy. But there are people who can help you. Come, you know, I'll be glad to counsel with you. But if I counsel with you, I expect you to do what God tells you to do. Okay? Brother Michael will be glad to counsel with you. If you don't want that, then look at somebody who's been married 50 years and go talk to them and get an idea. How do we fix this marriage? Listen, it's worth fixing. Don't throw it away like a broke TV. Especially when there are people around that can help you fix it. To build a marriage, a relationship, it's got to be built on the right foundation. And that foundation is the Word of God. Okay? There are marriage counselors all over the place today, but you'll not find better marriage counseling than the Word of God. Okay? And it starts with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. All right? For your marriage to be a truly successful marriage, you've got to know Jesus. All right? Are you a child of God? Are you? Have you ever come to that point in your life where you've given your heart, your life to Jesus Christ and called out to Him for salvation? If not, What are you going to build your life on? Not to mention after this life is over, where you're going to spend eternity in the next life. You're here today Because Jesus wants to begin a relationship with you. And it starts with salvation. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died for your sin to pay your sin debt. And now He asks you to come to Him. Give your life, your heart, repent. Turn away from whatever it is you've been trusting, whether it's yourself, whether it's somebody, whether it's religion. You turn away from all that and you turn to Jesus Christ and you make Him the center of your life. And my friends, then you'll have an area to build a life on. Okay? Are you a child of God? Maybe you're here today and you just need to come and spend time at this altar. I still believe in altar prayer. Don't you? Well, do you? Maybe you're here today and things have been rocky in your marriage. Now you just need to come to this altar and ask for divine intervention. God can help. And maybe you have another need that's completely not related to anything we've talked about today. The answer is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Will you turn to Him today? Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the day and we thank You for the instruction of Your word. Lord, there's just no area in our life that You haven't given us good foundation to be happy and to build a joyful life. And that marriage relationship is no exception. Lord, we know if our marriages aren't built upon You, then, Lord, we can't have a good marriage. So today, I pray that You'll answer the needs of this congregation. Whether it be a need for help in marriage, a need for salvation, a need for rededication, whatever the spiritual need, Lord, we just pray that You'll move among us, that You will address every individual need and answer that need. Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness. Pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name.